This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sean Payton is going to stay in Denver long term. He had his current contract actually runs him through the 2027 season, but the Broncos went ahead and said, "You know what? We like what you're selling, man. They signed him to a new five-year deal. So this new contract will take him through the 2030 season. How about that, Brian?
You know, I think it's actually a good move. To go for it. There's no change that's going to be coming. He's shown he has got this ship, you know, heading in the direction. Whether they're a Super Bowl team next year or not, you know they're heading that way and are going to be competitive for it. Yeah, I would hate to go into next year, a contract year with him. You know, say the Broncos are very successful again this year. Could somebody present a unique challenge to him that would draw him in that direction? I think what they've just done is locked up Sean Payton to be the Broncos is going to be his last coaching job.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And this is an interesting one because I was not actually a fan of the
I wasn't a fan of the hire. No.
Because you had to trade a first-round pick to get him, and they were still dealing with trading all the assets and money away to get Russell Wilson. So, and again, Sean Payton's past with the Saints.
It bothers me.
It bothered me, and so I was kind of like not a big Sean Payton guy. But you can't argue with the results. And I guess my questions are, and you said Chris brought this up, you know, the Davis Webb thing. I thought the idea with this, with Davis Webb, was going to be because they really wanted him back. And for whatever reason, there's a lot of talk about Davis Webb throughout the NFL. Like that he's one of those young guys that might be next in line to be a head coach very, very soon. Other teams were looking at him to be their OC. But Denver fought hard. And Sean Payton, who I've learned about over the years, a very proud coach, a guy that I wouldn't think would be first in line to give up any of his control, and he did that. And so my thinking was, Sean and the ownership group, they all kind of sat down. Now, this has all been pitched as Sean Payton's idea to have Davis Webb call the plays and do all that and run the offense, really run the offense. And I thought, well, is this a partial plan in, you know, ownership management's eyes to say, hey, we're going to keep him intact because you're probably done in a couple. You probably finish your career. Maybe you get a Super Bowl out of it and you retire. But this contract extension tells me otherwise, that no, they are fully backing Sean Payton, and bringing Davis Webb back might have just been just for the year. Because if he's as good as advertised, he'll be gone. He'll probably get a head coaching job if this offense actually finds an uptick this upcoming season.
Did you have something in your head that was thinking, okay, they're keeping him around because Payton is going to be gone and we're kind of grooming him to be the next head coach?
Yeah, I kind of did. I thought maybe Sean would again, for him to give up play calling duties, and we'll find out just how serious that really is.
Yeah, we've heard this kind of stuff before with coaches, and in 2 weeks later, people are noticing, wait a minute, looks like they're calling the
plays. We saw this with CSU last year, you know, with Jay Norvell, and it was off-season. It was, Matt Mummy's going to be the guy. Oh, never mind, we're not committing to that, and it was Jay Norvell. And then Norvell did actually give up, allegedly, play calling duties. But then, you know, we see the very next game and there's Jay Norvell with the playbook stuffed into his face and he's reading off a play. And, you know, Matt Mummy had one too. But part of me is like, that was kind of just a show. Maybe Mummy gets to call a series or two, but for the most part, it's going to be Jay. Sean had cited, you know, the main reason for the change was just wants to be faster. wants to get stuff in faster. So is he still just running? Is Davis Webb essentially still just going to run what Sean Payton does? All the reports at OTA so far, and take that how you will, just kind of are indicating that this is going to be the exact same offense. It's just Davis Webb's going to be the one to push the buttons. I always think with a change like that, you want that guy, in this case Davis Webb, to bring in his own wrinkle.
Yeah.
Now, again, time will tell. Some believe that Davis Webb could be the guy to open up the tight end game, and maybe there's going to be a real commitment to the run. But we're going to find out in game one if you know there's one run to Bo Nick's seven passes, that's going to be 100% Sean Payton.
I mean, you mentioned the tight end thing, which has been a concern for me. I don't know if we don't use them right or we don't have the right people. But can you remember back what his history was with that position when he was with New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of guys, but nothing crazy.
So, I mean, he historically has not been one who focuses an offense as a tight end being like a third wide receiver.
Yeah, he historically, and then even further with the run game, he's shown more commitment to the run earlier, but that was always run by committee. He's not going to just ever say this is the guy that's going to get the carries. So a lot of what we've seen in his past, like with the Saints, was based around what Drew Brees could do, and having these jokery type offshoot players. So we're kind of seeing a lot of that take hold. And obviously in his world, he wants Bo Nix to be his Broncos version of Drew Brees, and everything goes through that quarterback. And that's nothing new. There's a lot of teams that do that. But I think looking at last year, we all agreed, until J.K. Dobbins went down, he was their best, most productive player offensively. We just didn't get to see him enough. So I'll be really curious to see how this goes. I think it's a good move. I feel this way with the Broncos right now that I think they're obviously a good team. I feel like they've still overachieved. Defensively, they are so good. Terrible getting turnovers, and that's a big focus for them, is to find a way to get an uptick in interceptions.
I love that.
They were one of the worst teams. Like, they had 8 dropped would-be interceptions last year.
It was a huge problem.
And they were obvious ones, too. And if they catch those, they go from, like, I think they were, like, 23rd in the league in interceptions. If they actually catch those that dropped, they would have been tied for 4th. So it's not that they're not in the right positions. They're in those right positions, creating chaos. Just couldn't complete a lot of that. A lot of that was, Hufanga, too, who admitted. He's like, I had a lot of easy ones fall through my hands. So we'll see. But this has been a team that's been, the defense has carried them. And if they do run the ball somewhat, they typically can win games. Or they had late game heroics. I'll just be curious if they can bring that all together, because last year was a dangerous way to live. They lived it. They did it. They won 13 games. They made it to an AFC championship, and unfortunately, they lost their quarterback before it. But there's definitely a change that needs to be made with this offense if they really want to be competitive with this monster schedule coming up.
Yeah, I think the health of the running back position is going to be absolutely key. To start, and I do want to see, have they evolved the tight end position? Is it getting involved? How much of a difference? It's got to be huge that Waddle is going to make.
Yeah.
Attitude going in, knowing you have that weapon, the pressure relief that Cortland Sutton must feel, you know, having somebody else out there. Not saying we don't have young talent. We needed exactly what we picked up.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we needed him.
Yeah, and I think that's going to open up a lot of things.
I really do. How much of the running game is going to get opened up because you actually have that much more to concentrate? You know, we talked about it before. We had guys who we liked, but were there anybody that the defense had to overly be concerned about during the week in practice to try to put in a package to defend?
Yeah.
And we didn't have that person. We sure as heck do now, which, like as you say, could make other people look that much better.
Yeah, and I look at like Evan Engram, you know, because obviously a weakness with this team was tight end production. And I know Cortland Sutton didn't want to hear that. And he's like, they're getting a bad rap. I don't like people going at our tight ends. I love that Sutton did that. That's great as a teammate. But the truth still is they've had a severe lack of production in the tight end game. this idea with Waddle, because they were not very active. The Broncos were not very active in the offseason, but they just hit one grand slam. And sometimes that's all you need to change this offense up. Yeah. And I'm really excited to see how this one breaks down. Another story surrounding the Broncos, of course, Brian, is the stadium. You know, building the stadium, the new stadium, where they're going to go. The Denver water facility is now an issue that they're running into, and that's a big deal. They wanted Law M, one of the long-standing tailgated lots just southeast of Colfax and Federal. They're running into a snag with water. And there's water rights and all this stuff that's coming into it. Local residents are pushing back hard against the idea of Denver water moving into the neighborhood at all. And so now they're running into several pitfalls that the city's kind of like, I don't know that this is going to happen. There's like 4 million things you guys need to do before you can actually build a stadium here.
You would think that that would have been so heavily researched and looked into, you know, before plans get to this point.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised when something like that pops up, but water is a huge, huge situation.
Yeah, and I think with, like, Rob Walton and Greg Penner, like, they had to know, moving to Burnham Yard, like, they had to know beforehand any issues that might arise. But maybe this is a way of them saying, hey, guys, we tried to keep it in Denver. They've also talked about putting the stadium near the airport. And obviously a lot of Denver fan, like deep Denver fans, are not crazy about that thought. That was originally the first thing that I heard, was where there might be an interest is to move that stadium there so they could create their own little, you know, what we see surrounding Coors Field.
Yeah, you could have the Bronco marketplace in a sense,
yeah,
you know.
And they would have that control to really do that. Yeah, part of my brain's like, hey, they kind of knew they were going into this and they were going to run into these snags with water. And maybe that's their way of keeping fans not pissed off at them, saying, we tried, we wanted to go through with it to show you that, yeah, we probably can't, so we're going to go back with plan B. But maybe, conspiracy mode, in the back of their mind, plan A was really to move it near the airport in the first place.
They're not moving to Chicago, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough... Dude, did you see this, Brian? And Faith will appreciate this or probably be depressed by this, but... you've got the cover of Madden. I don't know if you saw who's on.
Yeah, Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams is on the new cover. I believe one of the covers that you can buy has a background, and it's Chicago in the background. And so it's like kind of a maybe a commemorative Madden game to get, but it's kind of a slap in the face.
Could this curse continue not with injury,
like
but
ultimate.
With losing a franchise?
Yeah. I mean,
that is...
ultimate curse,
Brian. I mean, it plays into the whole curse lore.
Yeah. So it's got Chicago skyline in the background. It was kind of inspired by Michael Jordan's legendary 1985 Jumpman poster with the skyline in the background. Mm. So they're kind of doing that with the Madden cover, but that one's tough. That's a tough one.
I just, that would be such a travesty.
Oh, and listen.
To me, that's just...
There
that
are teams
happen.
That move all the time, and I get that, and they survive. But this is Chicago. You know, this is a different story.
There's no way they should be without a professional football team. The Chicago Bears are so etched in the history of professional football. It would be a travesty for that to move.
Yeah. Here's the other one, Brian. I know you and Tanner have been following the Brendan Sorsby stuff. Texas Tech head coach spoke about this kind of for the first time, and as Kevin alluded to in our interview earlier, he said, it's one of his quotes, and Paul Feinbaum quoted him, it's crazy because it's not murder. It's not beating somebody. I mean...
Nobody said that.
Listen, I get it. Tom Brady deflating a football. Bill Belichick spying on teams. I get that's not worse than what we hear, but... When you have a business that is sports, and if you mess with that business in any way, cheat the game, gamble on the game, that is top of the list. And so I hear a lot of people like, well, come on, Georgia, like their guys get speeding tickets, DUIs and all that stuff, and we're not threatening to not play them. Unfortunately, that's just a part of our society. Guys break the law and they get in trouble. If they break the law, they get a speeding ticket, whatever. They have to go to court. They have to pay a fine, whatever. But this is different than that. This isn't the real world. This is dealing with the actual sport of this. And for Texas Tech's head coach Joey McGuire to come out and basically say, come on, guys, it's not like he's killing anybody. You're almost telling me that you're okay with the fact that he's gambling on this. And I'm sorry, Brian, this idea, addiction, I know addiction is a mental health issue. I get that. I understand that, and I appreciate that. But they are really laying it on thick right now. Here's what Coach McGuire had to say. And so us even saying to the point before we get to the legal part that he can be ready week three against Houston is still a stretch because guess what? He's still recovering. You don't necessarily know between now and then exactly. Do I see a different person? I know it sounds crazy, but I do. Do I see a kid that feels like he's got 1,000 pounds of weight lifted off of him? He made the statement that he feels like this is a moment that can actually change his life. And then the negative part of my brain goes into, did Sorsby know at some point he's going to get caught? Like, guys are getting caught. Alabama State players got caught mm-hmm. last week. Is that why he came forward with, hey, let me use this? And I'm not like, I understand addiction. I get that. But I've always learned, like, if you're addicted to something and you can't go have a, if you're an alcoholic and you can't have a beer because that's going to lead to 14 others or whatever and then bad decisions, then you probably shouldn't go to the bar. You probably should say, hey, listen, I can't control myself in that environment, so I'm going to put that away from my life. I'll meet you at a coffee shop, whatever. This guy's saying I have an addiction to gambling on sports and yet wants to still live, eat, and breathe sports. I think that's problematic in my brain, at least.
No, and I agree with that. And even using the analogy where they talk about, you know, these players are, you know, driving and, you know, this, you know, speeding and all this, isn't that worse or just as bad? And it's the ramifications of that are you lose your license and you lose your right to drive.
Yeah, right.
For a period of time. Why wouldn't that type of law apply here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think that's a poor excuse.
Yeah, if this is against the
bad
rule.
Bad comparison, I mean.
Yeah, if this is against the rule in the NCAA and you broke that rule, and anyone you ask will say that you could debate the 5-for-5 deal, the NIL, how that's going, the transfer portal. There's a healthy debate all around. There's one half that's like, yeah, let the players have all the control. There's the other half that's like, I want it back how it was in 1947. Nobody. Is like everybody says the same thing on this. Like, yeah, gambling on your own team is like, no, we cannot do that.
No, when it goes back, when you have history going back to the Black Sox scandal, when yes. for over 100 yep. years this has been known.
Yeah, you don't do it.
Yes.
You don't, because I'm telling you, man, yes, it's bad what some athletes do. They get into serious trouble. But if people really start to believe that their games are being fixed, and that there's a player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you mean to tell me, get on a lie detector test and tell me right now, what typically football teams have 100 guys on their roster. The way this has gone, and then we had the Alabama State story last week, give me a 100-man roster and tell me not one of those guys has gambled in some way on sports.
Oh, I don't think that's possible.
And now we get this where they're basically saying, hey, it's okay. If I'm Alabama State, if I'm any of those players, they didn't play last season for whatever reason. But if they're not allowed to play, then I'm definitely getting my lawyer and saying, I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to it.
That card quick
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen now.
Yeah, I would think so, which is a shame to people with a real addiction. Again,
right.
Not saying his isn't that.
But it does.
But it does take it a step back.
It waters it down.
Yes.
It's what it does. And, you know, to have these guys and coaches talking about, I mean, they're talking about him like he's gone through almost suicidal situation. And I don't know the dude. I said this yesterday. He should be forgiven. He should absolutely be
yes.
forgiven. But there's also ramifications for what you do. And if you break a rule that is specifically like a no-no in whatever luxury job you're getting to do, then you get forgiven for that, but you don't necessarily get to keep playing. That's just how it goes. 22 minutes after the hour, Brian and I are going to wrap it up here. We're going to send it over to Rockies pregame coverage at 12:30 today. We'll see if the Rocks can get another one the Cubs.
Absolutely.
Let's get down to that final three, Brian. I want to feel like a human again. That would be great.
You're going to look great Monday when you come in clean shaven.
And then I schedule my haircut, and away we go, and it's back to normal Brady. 23 minutes after, it's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Brian, we kind of buried the lead of the show today, to be honest. I mean, we've talked about a few things here in the last hour and a half. It's always great to have Brian Gary, the Brian Gary, on the other side of that bulletproof glass, but I am doing a hot dog eating contest on July 3rd at Big City Roadhouse. We are welcoming all contestants. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Brian goes and comments on my Facebook post about this quest.
Lesson learned.
And you threw down the gauntlet. You came at me.
I did.
And said, dude, I will eat you alive. Maybe not me, but the hot dogs. You will eat the hot dogs. And you have thrown your name in the ring, and you will be challenging me on July 3rd.
Yeah, I think it's more fun to have a little competition.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I have watched you win basically most contests here.
Yeah,
I don't think
obviously.
You've lost anything.
I'm 100% undefeated.
Yeah, and I just feel it's time for you to taste a little humility to go with the hot dogs.
Yeah,
you and I, good friends.
Sure.
I have great respect for you. Love you, man. But I am going to destroy you in this contest.
Well, you know, first off, no. I'm going to just eat so many hot dogs. It's just going to be the greatest thing. It'll probably be the most heroic thing anyone has ever seen before, I'm guessing.
There'll be a medal,
yeah,
I would think, at least of merit.
But yeah. And good for you to like step up for Good Morning NoCo, because I destroyed Tanner in that last thing we did, the race that everyone talked about.
You crushed his spirit.
I mean, I didn't even know where he was. When I turned around, I'm like, I beat him by that much. He was so far back there. I thought he quit the race, and he now has no confidence to do anything anymore, man. He's just
his golf game was destroyed.
His golf game is bad now because I'm in his head. You know, he's growing those little whiskers back there. You know, it looks like he's going through puberty. Good for him. He's got his first couple of whiskers going. His confidence is just absolutely gone. And for you to step in and say, "Listen, man, let's take some of the shine, you know, some of the spotlight off of Tanner for a second." And you coming in with this, it's admirable. It really is.
I'm doing it for Good Morning NoCo.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
A little rivalry we have here, you know, within the station between our shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bruce bailed out right away.
Oh, obviously.
You know, but
yeah.
Have you ever attempted anything like this, Brady?
No, never.
Oh, is Tanner chiming in?
Yeah, he's already sad about this.
I didn't know the Amish had phones.
I don't think they do, actually. I think he's winding it up right now. Yeah, he can't even raise barns like he used to anymore. You know, milking the cows is becoming
the cousin
an issue.
Dancing parties
no,
have just gone
stands,
to nothing.
He stands in the corner and just watches the square dancing
sad.
Happen. Yeah, he's
sad.
Not into it. But no, this is actually going to be fun. And no, Brian, I've never done anything like this. I've never done an eating contest. For some reason, I've always wanted to do a hot dog eating contest.
You've talked about it
for
some time.
I love hot dogs. And I can eat quite a few of them. So I'm like, you know what? I want to do this. And Big City Roadhouse is like, we're gonna set this whole thing up just to make your dreams come true.
I'm really looking forward to it. I love the folks at Big City Roadhouse to start with.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to seeing our competitors, who we're going to take on and destroy.
I think we have like one or two spots open if you
we
want
still do?
On. I think so, like one or two. But we're going to make this thing absolutely fun, so I cannot wait. I'm glad Brian's doing it. He's going down, obviously, but you know, he's going to do it.
No,
you're going to participate.
I am going to participate. I have never won one of these. I did really well in the Rocky Mountain Oyster Eating Contest a few years ago.
Yep.
Hot dogs.
Going
down.
Next.
Going
right.
down.
Brian Gary, thank you so much, my friend. Rockies Cubs, game three of the series coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.